Hey guys, it's Kiki and I'm here to review season 3, episode 10 of OWN's Ready to Love, entitled Getting Clarity. So I am a little late with this podcast. Please excuse me. Y'all know I like sticking to a schedule, but things happen. I went out Friday night, so I knew if I came back, I was going to be a little tipsy and it'll probably be a drunk review, but I got back home and I watched the episode. Now, I ain't gonna lie, I was a little buzzed and the episode just was not making sense to me. So I sat there, I watched the whole episode when I got home and I was like, this episode was dumb. Like, nothing made sense to me, and I didn't know if it was because I was a little, again, buzzed or because I wasn't fully paying attention. But yeah, this was probably like one of the weakest episodes of the season. I just feel like nothing really happened, but child, we gonna see. We still gonna talk about it. I mean, I watched other reviewers and they were just very confused at the ending, just like I was, so at least I wasn't alone with that. But let's get started. We are back where we left off with Alexis confronting Amber about the kiss with Ron. Alexis just got a damn attitude problem. All right. She feels like Amber betrayed her. She's looking at her like a Judas because you have prayed with me over this man. You have done me wrong as your wife, Greg. I have never. Giving me big Nene vibes. But anyway. Alexis reiterates that finding out about the date and the kiss was a blow to her heart. Vernicia is sitting up. She's like, y'all kissed and you didn't share that? KG says that it's not cool that Amber did not share this. And Alexis is like, I don't see how you could do that. You know, I would never kiss KG. That would be disrespectful. Now, even though I felt like Alexis was putting 20 on 10, I do agree. And it coming out this way was messy and a blow to her, I guess. But I mean, consider the source, you know, look at the messenger. Ron told you that after he got eliminated, after y'all had an argument, you said you didn't even know if he was telling the truth. So to bring Amber out in front of everybody, didn't really care for that. Amber clarifies when she gets the chance to speak. She says that it was not a date. She was taking her guy friend out who was getting deployed. Ron reached out to her and said that, hey, I can get you guys into this club for free. That's basically what it was. So she was never on a date with Ron, because I was like, if that had been the case, they would have showed us at least a little flashback, you know, of the dates that don't make it into full production on this show. So Amber says she wanted to tell Alexis, but she was conflicted. She already knew that, to clarify, she already knew that Alexis was conflicted off of Ron, off of a prayer. She didn't specify, but I think she meant that prayer comment that Ron made that day when he and Alexis met her ex about, oh, you can stay in the house and pray, I'm gonna go out and do it. Like, I think that's what she meant. Amber does take responsibility and says that she allowed the kiss to happen, but she does apologize. Now I'm kind of looking at Amber like, well, why did you let Big Tongue Ron even get comfortable enough with you to let him think? Like, I always say it's a dating show, you know, date other people, da 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 da. But I don't know, it just seems odd to me. We're not getting a full story. So like, were y'all hanging out together, you and your friend and Ron just like out of the blue kissed you? Like, girl, what's the tea? I guess we'll find out more at the reunion. But you know, she apologizes. Alexis, even though she's angry and she's in her feelings and she's still pissed off about that conversation with AJ that she just had, she said that it showed Ron's true character and that she's cool with Amber because Amber took it like a woman and that she took, you know, accountability for her actions. So, I mean, that's all nice and good, but you just called her out in front of everybody. But I can't be too mad because Amber, you did the same thing to Joel. You called him out in front of everybody, in front of Vernicia. But Vernicia was really in this like, no, you know, do you understand that you need to tell us these things? Because not even tell us, I disagree with Vernicia then, but you need to bring these things to the forefront because you was just saying Joel was leaving stuff out and that was important stuff. So Amber takes it. She apologizes. KG Chris is looking at her sideways. And I'm like, see, KG, that's what you get for putting all your eggs in one basket. So next, they want to break up the tension. So Kyra suggests that they need to choose their rooms. Joelle wants to get in the hot tub. So we see them go upstairs. I think Vernicia and Joelle are going to room together. But as far as everybody else has their own separate rooms. I think Amber and Liz are bunking together. So we get downstairs. They're chilling by the hot tub. We see AJ and Liz get in the hot tub. We see Alexis and Vernicia and Joel at a table. They're smoking hookah and relaxing with blankets on. Then we see Kyra come out. Kyra brought them thangs out. I was like, okay, Kyra. Kyra says that she wants to be eye candy and, you know, she likes competition. So she came out in her two-piece bikini, baby, and body, yaddy, yaddy. But the gag is nobody really. Who she wanted to take notice didn't take notice. Like, Jason was already in the hot tub with Liz, so that's where his attention was. Liz said she didn't even notice Kyra was there because she was focusing on Jason. AJ comes out and joins them in the hot tub. And he says that he realizes that he is Alexis's only connection. So he needs to decide, you know, what he wants to do about Kyra. He wants to spend more time with her and determine if there's more of a connection there. Alexis says that she is neck to neck in this competition with Kyra. They both want AJ, so she's willing to let AJ spend some time with Kyra so he can decide what he wants. Jason, with the same old, like him, Kyra, Amber, and Liz are having this conversation in the hot tub. I didn't take notes on it because it's the same old, you know, what has this experience taught you, blah, 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 blah. Kyra says that the experience has taught her to be more vulnerable. AJ still feels like she has a wall up. And not AJ, Jason still feels like she still has a wall up. Jason says that she's not opening up and it's crunch time. They only have a limited time left here, so she need to make something shake. Next, we get a scene with KG and Amber. They're alone next to a bonfire. And KG's telling Amber, like, you know, they were coming after you. And she's like, it's okay. I'm always going to tell the truth. I'm a tough cookie. KG says that he's shocked and about the kiss with Ron because she usually tells him everything and that he is lost for words. And Amber basically says that when Ron kissed her, it was in front of his friends and she didn't want to embarrass him. I kind of understand, like, if men do stuff like that and you don't want it, you don't want to make the situation uncomfortable, which is, as women, we should just stand up and say, hey, don't do that. But y'all know, anything to go with the flow, anything to not be called a bitch, anything to just not cause a confrontation. So, we, you know, women, we're laid back with that stuff. I could talk about that for hours. But, you know, she apologizes to Chris. He accepts it. You know, she says that they're going to move forward. And that she likes that KG accepts that she is who she is. You know, sometimes she can get a little rowdy. Sometimes she can get a little wild. But they are not going to dwell on this situation. They're going to move forward. So they kiss. I guess I'm sold on them. I don't know. I go back and forth with KG and Amber. I'm like, are y'all with each other out of convenience? Excuse me. Or is there a legitimate connection there? I don't know. So we have everybody in the kitchen. The ladies are going to make breakfast. They have on these cute little chef hats and they're running around the kitchen trying to find stuff to cook. We get some banter with, I skipped a whole section. Let's go back to the hot tub, y'all. I'm sorry. Right before the hot tub scene ended, Kyra and AJ are having a spirited discussion and Alexis is whispering to Vernicia and Joelle. She's like, I'm really concerned about AJ and Kyra's relationship because they have a lot of conflict. And Alexis, stop being a damn bird. Like, she's happy that they're at odds and that they disagree because that means she has more time with AJ. So Alexis, you're too old to be these like teenage gossip girl plot points. But yeah, and Joel is like, so is that a good thing? Are you happy with what you're seeing? And she's like, I'm not gonna lie, I feel some type of way. I think she means she feels some type of way because AJ is in the hot tub with Kyra as opposed to being bundled up smoking a hookah with her. But Alexis, stop being a damn bird. Then we get the scene of the next morning and everybody's cooking. Vernicia and Joel says that they slept together in the same bed, but they didn't have no sex. Joel says that now he knows he can lay next to this baby. Vernicia asked Joel what he learned about himself or about her last night. And he was like, I didn't really learn anything about you. If anything, I learned more about others. She says she liked that he can apologize and that he still made an effort to talk to her, because if this was a normal circumstance, she would have gone the whole night without speaking to him. Big facts. I'm great at the silent treatment. Like, I can look at you and pretend you don't exist. I can walk past you. You don't exist to me. Like, I do not see you. She warns Joelle that, you know, you can't do nothing else. Don't do nothing else now. Or this is it. So they laugh and joke. AJ is downstairs with Kyra in the kitchen trying to help out. He says that he needs a woman with a certain level of assertiveness. AJ, who has just been floating this entire experience, says that he needs a woman with a certain level of assertiveness. Wow. Wow, Bethany. Wow. Kyra says that she likes AJ. Her guard is coming down with him. I'm so tired of having to repeat the same old stuff with Kyra and AJ and Jason. Kyra, AJ, Jason. Kyra, AJ, Jason. It's a boring ass triangle, and thank God there's like one or two episodes left before the reunion, because I don't know how much more I can take. Liz and Alexis are speaking upstairs. Liz says that she is very secure about Jason. She's really infatuated with him, and I'm glad that she was able to find a connection here after crazy ass David wasted her time. Alexis says that she and AJ's relationship is peaceful and they don't really have confrontation. Peaceful? Y'all don't be fucking talking. Alexis is just damn delusional. Like, I don't know what planet Alexis is on, but she is like, she's forging this relationship with AJ. And I feel like she was doing that with Ron, with the whole, oh, we talk every day and I'm his number one. I feel like Alexis takes 10 and puts it on 20. Like, y'all relationship is peaceful. Y'all don't even have a damn relationship. And AJ really doesn't like you, because for him to say he wants somebody assertive, Alexis was assertive, but to him, she was overly sexual. Alexis, get out of my face. You're playing, girl. She says that although AJ's feeling Kyra, she is not a quitter and she likes to win. So again, Kyra and Alexis, they just don't want to leave here without any connections. They don't want to be seen as a failure or a loser. So they could be fighting over the ice cream man or the milkman. It really does not matter. They just don't, not, either of them does not want to lose. So it's really not about AJ. Okay, so our next scene is with Jason and Kyra. Y'all, I'm so sick of the both of them. But once I actually sat and paid attention to what they were saying, I was able to clock what's going on with between Jason and Kyra. So bear with me. So they're having a little tennis date. Kyra says that she's going to use this date to get feedback on Jason. They play tennis. She loses. She has to call him the sexiest man in the world. So whatever. They talk. Because Kyra says that she's frustrated on their connection because Jason spends most of his time, at least on this trip, she says she's frustrated with their connection because Jason has been spending most of his time with Liz. So she tells him that she feels like the energy has shifted after the last male deliberation. The last male deliberation before this was when Tommy asked the guys if you could leave with anyone, who would it be, and how David, Joelle, and who is that? AJ said Kyra. So that did shake Jason, now that I'm thinking back to it, because Joelle said Kyra out of nowhere and David said Kyra out of nowhere. Like, he was a little shook after that. And I feel like when he met her ex-boyfriend, Timothy, who was spilling all the tea on his on her finances, I feel like Jason pulled away. Jason says that the difference between Liz and he tells Kyra, the difference between you and Liz is Liz has told me her direction and where she wants to go. You have not told me that. So he straight up asked Kyra, who do you want? Kyra says she doesn't know. She says that this experience is still part of the process, so she does not need to know. Jason is confused because he says that AJ and Kyra argue all the time. He says, you know, he says in confessional, are you evaluating the men or are you evaluating yourself? Now at this point, I feel like, why can't it be both? You know, we would like to think that we can come into relationships fully formed and fully figured out. But if you're in an experiment like this, you are still going to learn stuff about yourself. So I would be evaluating myself and the men as well. Jason's argument, though, is that you should have an idea at this point in time. Now, she says that when the ladies were asked if you could leave, who would it be with, she said Jason, and that she told Jason that she said his name. So Jason basically, I break it down as, okay, but let me finish this and then I'll give my explanation. So she says she told Jason that she chose him when Tommy asked, right? He says that you said my name, but I still feel like we still have a connection on only surface stuff. Kyra is offended that he says that it's only surface because she feels like they have been pursuing each other since day one. Jason's just fed up and he's like, you need to define what you want. Like, I'm a soldier on the battlefield, you're my captain, you need to tell me where to go. All right, so in my opinion, I feel like Jason and Kyra are not listening to each other. There's a huge miscommunication going on because Jason, and it's everything that Jason is accusing Kyra of doing, he's doing the same thing. It's just he's pursuing Liz because Liz is saying, hey, after this, I want to be with you. But he still has Kyra on the back burner. Kyra is still pursuing Jason because she's saying, hey, Jason, I want to be with you. You know, we talk about more than just surface level stuff. I ask you what you want in a wife and what you want in a partner. She's thinking long term, but she still wants to see if there's something there with AJ. My conflict with the both of them is that they want their pie and they want to eat it too. Like, I feel like Jason, and it's an insecurity of what if this person does not choose me as their number one. Jason feels comfortable with Kyra. He likes her. He could see herself with him, but he doesn't want to negate the fact that he has feelings for Liz. Even when his friends were like, oh, she's a little too holy. Like, oh, she's got the spirit of Jesus. I feel like Jason was embarrassed to say, no, I actually like Liz. Like, there's nothing wrong with liking Liz. And Jason, you have been pursuing her all on your own without her even giving you any cues. Like, up until a certain point, Liz was dead ass with David, but you were still pursuing her, Jason. So I don't understand why it's a double standard. I feel like Jason's thing is he needs to be verbally, he needs a verbal secured vote from Kyra that he is going to be her person. Okay, so that's Jason's issue. He wants both at once. And he doesn't want to man up and say, oh, I'm with Liz. No, you still want to have your fun with Kyra too. That's my problem with Jason. As far as Kyra, and I feel like everybody's kind of coming down on her. Like, yes, I've been saying you should know who you want to be with. You should have an idea. Kyra can't, for some reason, let AJ go. And I don't know why. AJ has not progressed in this experiment. He hasn't grown. He hasn't shown any signs of stapling down one person. Kyra just doesn't want to let that go. She wants to have one foot out the door and still want to look back and see what AJ has to offer. But it's going to be the same answer every time. AJ has zero things to offer. And then, like Kyra said, she doesn't like that Jason is spending all his time with Liz. I mean, you like competition, but you don't, you like competing, but you don't like the competition, basically. I just think that it's an ego thing with Kyra, and as opposed to Jason, where it's like she doesn't want him to look at anyone else. She wants him to just stay on the sidelines and choose her as his number one, but she does not want him to go and make other connections. And that's really what it comes down to with both Kyra and AJ. They don't have the balls to say, hey, I like you. I want to end this experiment with you. They don't have the balls to say that because they don't want to be that vulnerable. They're just using these other people as excuses. Like, oh, well, Liz told me what she wants. Okay, but do you have that deep down connection with Liz? Do y'all have something deeper than just physical? Whereas when you're with her, Jason, you're kissing, you're touching, you're commenting on her body. Like, do y'all have a deeper connection than that? AJ and Kyra, y'all arguing all the time. Who wants to be fucking arguing all the time in a goddamn relationship? Y'all not even fully dating in this experiment, and everybody else has noted how y'all argue all the time. What's going on with that? Why are y'all wasting each other's time? Like, if I'm Kyra, I really would go for Jason. I just think that her ego is bruised that he's kind of choosing Liz, because really, what redeemable qualities does AJ have or that he has showcased while he's been there? So that's my whole Kyra and AJ thing. I'm done talking about them. Like, I really don't want to speak about them anymore. It's just circles. It's going around and having the same old redundant conversation. And as a Sagittarius, I hate repetitiveness. I like new things. I like to experience a little bit of variety. And these two are just, they're giving me just staleness at this point. So next we have AJ and Alexis. They go up to a tower on the property with glasses of wine and they're talking. Alexis apologizes for her actions from the night before. She said that she was walking in like with really heavy emotions and she had to get that out. Yeah, she didn't have an attitude problem when she sat down and talked to AJ by the fireplace before they started playing Truth or Dare. So I was like, all right. She does say that the one thing she likes about AJ is that he brings her down when she wants to go and guns blazing. Like, he can calm her. So AJ is glad that he can calm her down. And I just think that's all bullshit. She was trying to coon for him. She was being a pick me. Like, I just like you because you calm me. Because we'll see what the conversation goes. But she's being a bird. She says that there is a lot of peace between them, but, you know, and she doesn't want to talk about anybody or name names, but, you know, her one concern would be that he doesn't yoke up with someone who just causes him a lot of dysfunction. Now, who could she be talking about? Of course, they give us a flashback to Kyra, so we know she's implying that Kyra and him are dysfunctional, but listen, here's the thing, Alexis, about men. They can yell and scream and all they want and say, oh, she's dysfunctional, she's messy, she's got an attitude. Oh, not a good morning text. Men, men can say all of that, but guess what? They go home to the same woman at the end of every night. Those are the ones they put on social media. That's the one that they love and buy roses for. So yeah, she gets on his nerves and they argue, but guess what? The men, they like that. They like that. They like that action. They like that back and forth. Okay. So you trying to paint this picture that, oh, Kyra's just dysfunctional and oh, Kyra's not good for you. He's there for a reason. He's there for a reason. So yeah, don't let these men lie to y'all. Cause that's really what it is. What else is happening in this conversation? Want versus need. Oh, AJ is talking about when it comes to deciding between her and Kyra, you know, you kind of have to look at what you want versus what you need. I guess he wants Kyra and he needs Alexis. He says that it's basically safe versus exciting and that he calls Alexis safe. Safe to me means a little boring, but whatever. She obviously is fed up with being in competition with Kyra, so she asks AJ, where's your heart? And he says that even with it being safe versus exciting, he is appreciative of what Alexis can offer him. Again, AJ does all this double talk and he still does not secure his answer. I was like, Alexis, please pick up on the fact that he didn't answer your question. If you glaze over this, I'm going to know for 100% that you are a clown. And the next thing Alexis says is, oh, he wasn't securing his answer and she's very disappointed. I was like, see, like, it's all bullshit with AJ. AJ is just here for... AJ is just here for shits and giggles. Like, he's not here for a partner. So, AJ says that he likes the both of them, but none of the two women are doing anything to supersede the other. So, I feel like AJ has been in this feeling since episode 2 or 3. Like, there's been no traction. There's been no, like, positive reinforcement that has happened to sway his way. He is just going wherever the wind blows. So, thumbs down on AJ. So, the show picks back up. Everybody's inside. Joelle, I think, and KG are playing pool. He's making a joke. And Liz and Alexis are sitting there talking about Vernicia got a good one. And I was like, yeah, she does. I wonder why Alexis didn't pursue Joelle or Liz for that matter. I think Liz saw that Joelle had his titties out in that first episode and she was a little too tempted because she was like, remember, she said he reminded her of her daddy. KG and Amber are sitting together and Amber's just talking just to be talking, saying that every time they link up together, it solidifies what they have. people just be saying stuff and I don't understand why. Tommy rides up on a horse looking like motherfucking Seabiscuit. Everybody's so excited to see him. Joelle talk about giddy up, giddy up. But Tommy is there to talk to everybody and see what happened the night before. Jason and AJ are sitting outside and talking. Tommy joins them. So Tommy sits in the middle and sighs. And AJ's like, you know, whenever you take that deep sigh, I worry, Tommy, like you about to say something bad. And Tommy's like, well, no, I'm gonna need you to slide downstairs. I'm gonna need you to slide downstairs so I can have a conversation with Jason. So AJ leaves. Tommy asks him, you know, what has happened over the past 36 hours? Jason says that so far it's been an eye-opening experience and he finally got what he needed. He says that with Kyra, he just realizes that she has to finish the process all the way to the end to decide what she wants and who she wants. And I was like, that you just now getting that, AJ? And yeah, he's not really comfortable with that. He didn't say that, but that's what I deduced from that. He says that with Liz, you know, she's consistent, so that's a good look for him. Tommy says that men need to know expectations of what their women want. At first, I didn't know what the hell Tommy was talking. I was like, what are you talking about? But I understood what he said. He says, he's basically saying you have to be grown enough to anticipate what your woman wants and what she needs. Like, you need to know. You can't be out here looking clueless. So he asked Jason if he had to leave with someone, who would he see himself leaving with if he had to leave the process right now? Jason says that, you know, his dad always says that love is not confusing, it's simple. I agree. When you know, you know. Period, point blank. I always tell that to people and they're like, I don't know if this, or my friends, and they're like, I don't know if this guy, and I'm just like, you're gonna know. I can't describe the feeling of how you know when somebody is special, but I can't put it into words, but when you know when you know. You just know. So for dramatic pause, they go to commercial break, but they come back and Jason says that if he had to choose, it's going to be Liz. Like, she's been there for him. And again, that consistency played a huge part in it, and he feels it in his gut, in his heart. I guess, Jason. No, I really do believe he likes Liz. I still think that he has feelings for Kyra. Just because Kyra isn't on the same page as him, he doesn't want to concede to Kyra because she got other options. So next, Tommy sits down with KG and Joelle. KG says that they're getting to the end of the stretch and he's feeling apprehensive. Tommy asks KG, you know, what's been going on? How do you feel about Amber? He's giving her all the compliments in the world. He's like, she's thorough, she's honest, she's genuine, she's smart. I can't read what I wrote. Full of love? I don't know. Side note, y'all, I did get my iPad, and I do handwrite my notes. I found a good Apple Pencil dupe. So I'm working on my handwriting, if anybody cares. So while he's doling out all these compliments about Amber, Tommy's like, so there wasn't no drama last night? Y'all already know the producers put Tommy up on everything that happened last night. So he was like, no, there was some drama. You know, Alexis was mad because she didn't tell, because Amber wasn't forthcoming about, you know, a kiss she shared with Ron. So Tommy is like, you know, tell me something. How do you feel about someone you're pursuing having a kiss with another man? Are you okay? And Chris said, you know, he got over it, basically. Chris says in his confessional, it's still early on. That's why he was able to get over the kiss. If they were 18 months down the line and she had kissed someone, that would definitely be a red flag. Tommy reiterates that communication is key. And Chris is like, yeah, I'd rather you slap me with the truth than kiss me with a lie. Good one, KG. I'm gonna write that down. Joelle's turn to talk. He says that Tommy's like, I heard some stuff happened between you and Vernicia. You know, y'all went through a lot of stuff. And I'm like, yes, because Joelle had Vernicia stressed all of yesterday. Like, when I think about it, Vernicia kept getting mad at the situation over and over as the day went by. She wasn't in the wrong, but it was just the circumstances of them being stuck at this ranch. So Joelle says that, yeah, their connection was breached because he said he'd go home with Kyra that night. but that they talked through it and they got over it and they apologized to each other, so it's all good. Tommy is like, listen, the quicker you can get through a lot of things, the less pain it's going to cause. I agree. Like, I'm very direct, so I can't stay pressed about a situation for very long. Like, we're either going to confront it or we're not. We just can't move forward, because I hate going to bed upset. I hate being mad at people. Even in my last relationship, I think that's what pissed my boyfriend about me the most, because if we'd have a problem, he'd be like, oh, just let it go. But if you let things go and you continue to let things go, I feel like they fester up, and then the smallest little thing, it's like a needle with a balloon. The smallest little needle can pierce that balloon, and then you have a big blow up. So that's why I like to get things out in the open, and not just with relationships, with friendships, with family. If there's an issue, let's address it and let's move forward. To let things continually stew and to grow resentment, that just causes stress, and stress causes anxiety, and we ain't got time for that. So I agree with Tommy. Joelle reiterates that, you know, he's too old to go back around the block, you know, and he has his kids to reconsider. So he needs to make sure that the person he chooses is serious. So Tommy asked them, you know, are you deadlocked on who you want to leave this process with? Joelle says it's definitely Vernicia, and KG Chris says, of course, it is Amber. So Joelle is like, all right, don't bring no more singles in here now. And I laughed because I'm just thinking, like, if this was Love Island, and because Love Island runs for like 50 episodes. But one thing I love about the show Love Island that they do is they wait until people make their connections, and then they split the groups up. They split up the men and the women, and they throw them in a house with like 10 or 20 new singles. So it's a messy plot twist. And I love when they do that. It's called Casa Amor. They put them in the house of love with other people. And that is when all the mess happens. That's when it's like temptation. Like, you said you locked on this person, now you're going to cheat with this new person. So I'm not saying Ready to Love needs to be like Love Island, but it would be interesting. It would just be a waste of time, I feel like, if they did that, because people would be ready to fight. Okay, so we're finally at the last couple of segments. Thank God. This episode has been dragging, but we see AJ leaning over a fence. He's tearing up a leaf, and I'm like, why did the producers place him here? Like, does she love me, or does she, like, you need a flower to do that. But anyway, he says that he's going into the deliberation not knowing how to vote or not knowing who to pick. Tommy joins him, and he says that, you know, communication has been a huge problem with Kyra, and that he was observing AJ and Kyra's hot tub conversation, and he's noticing that AJ had the same concerns about Kyra that he has. When it comes to Alexis, she's in the same place, in that he notices that Alexis had to make a very hard decision when she had to choose that Ron wasn't the one for her. So he kind of feels Alexis on that. So Tommy, he doesn't know how to make a decision. So Tommy's like, well, you're going to have to decide, period. So who is it going to be if you had to leave this experiment? So he's like, I mean, I can't choose either one of them. And Tommy tries to bring it home to AJ that it's not about their feelings. Like, you're so concerned about hurting one of those women's feelings. It's about your feelings and what's best for you. Now, this whole conversation would be valid if I believe that AJ was actually here to find love, but I don't believe he is. Tommy asks him, who do you see longevity with? AJ does not answer. And I think he doesn't answer because longevity, I don't think he obviously isn't even thinking that far, y'all. He's thinking about who he gonna take to brunch the next Sunday and then not answer on Monday. Tommy says that, you know what, he's gonna let AJ think about it and give him some time. AJ says that, you know, he just really has to be in tune with his feelings, and that this is one of the toughest decisions he has made in his life. His life, ladies and gentlemen, the toughest decision on Ready to Love season 4 of his life. Next. Can y'all tell how over I'm over it. Next, we get a scene, and I can tell I was drunk Friday night because I thought they had been left the ranch. This whole episode still took place at the ranch. I thought they had just been back downtown Houston at the club. No, they were at the ranch the whole time this episode. So Yeah, maybe it's a good thing I didn't record or take notes that night, because y'all would have been like, Kiki, what the hell? But we see AJ and Kyra at the little bonfire, you know. He opens up. Well, AJ is like, well, I need to talk to Kyra because I know Jason didn't choose her. okay. Kyra sees AJ and she's like, she was anxious at first, but all those feelings went away. She's excited to see him. She says that she's has been wanting to stargaze. Unfortunately, ain't no stars outside, but she's saying it could still be romantic with them just sitting outside. So, as far as the trip, Kyra feels that the trip has brought them closer together. AJ agrees the trip has brought them closer together, but he has noticed, like the other night in the hot tub, that Jason's apprehension kind of mirrors the same way that he feels. Kyra's like, well, not really, because it's coming from two different places. So AJ asks Kyra, you know, where are you at? And she says that after her conversation with Jason, she was pushed after a conversation with Jason yesterday, she was pushed in a certain direction, but there's no like flip. Like there's not a decision that's been made. Like she is still thinking. And AJ is like, see, that's kind of the part of my problem. Like I kind of need reassurement. Is reassurement a word, ladies and gentlemen? If it is, good for AJ, but he needs reassurement on, you know, what she's gonna decide. And she is like, do you feel like I haven't reassured? She used the correct pronunciation in term. She's like, do you not feel reassured by what I've been telling you? And he's like, no, I feel like you are still fence straddling. Okay, well, straddling the fence, AJ. She's like, listen, I'm sorry you feel that way, but I'm still, you know, deciding who I want to be with. So then AJ gets very serious and he's just like, well, I just want you to know that this is your last day here. We have decided that you are not ready for love. And he says that it's hard. He starts dabbing at his eyes. They're still holding hands. And Kyra's like, damn, man. Like she says in her confessional, like, oh, I was finally coming this close to choosing AJ. Kyra, don't make me scream. No, you weren't. No, you weren't. You've been saying for the full 48. No, I'm sorry. 59 minutes of this show that you could not decide between AJ and Jason. But now that he done told you that you need to go home and you ain't ready for love. Oh, I was just coming this close to choosing AJ. Girl, if you don't get out of here with this bullshit, I can't. I cannot. They are going to drive me insane. They are going to give me another gray strand at the crown of my head. So she's just like, I understand. And, you know, she's heard that the process has ended for her. So her and AJ are still sitting there holding hands. And she's like, well, can I have my hand back? And he's like, no, you know, I'm not ready to let you go. And I'm like, what? And he's like, do you want to be here with me? And then that's when the show cuts off before Kyra can answer. Y'all, please don't waste our fucking time. Like, I'm just... I'm so exhausted. Like, just let Kyra go home. AJ should have been gone episodes ago. Like, why? This is not where the meat and potatoes are in this season. Like, they are not the couples that we need to be watching. It's just, it feels, and I hate to say this because I really do like the show, it just feels like manufactured drama. It just feels like they're playing up on the point that Kyra is undecided and doesn't know who she wants to be with. That's fine, but to... Now, all of a sudden, AJ's really, really, really into Kyra when he's been telling Alexis other things. Like, AJ has not been interested in anyone since he's been here. But now it's a, you know, even though you're eliminated, I kind of want to be with you. Get the fuck out of here. So that's my review for this episode, you guys. I'm sorry it was late. I'm sorry I wasn't as enthusiastic as I am on the other episodes, but this episode was just lame. It was boring. It was the bullshit for me. Yeah, the next episode, we gonna get a switch up. I think we already know that Kyra is not gonna get eliminated. We know who's going home, but I'm gonna hold off on that because I want y'all to watch the episode. So I'll be cackling next week. That's for sure. That is for sure. But thank you guys so much for listening. Make sure you guys get caught up on Ashley's review for Starz's Run the World. Make sure you guys took a listen and streamed my BET Presents the Encore review about all the former girl group members getting together to cut an album and have a performance. It was surprisingly good. You know, surprised me, Carlos King, but I actually did like it. So I will be reviewing that in addition. So you guys have that to look forward to. Thank you guys so much for listening. You guys can catch me at KDASHDIOR on Instagram and the Twitter. I will talk to you guys later, and I'll see you next week for Ready to Love. Bye.